Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. I'm Dr. Richard Friend, and today we're talking with Dr. Marissa Gigi, a psychiatrist at University Medical Center, about the toll of COVID on adults' mental health. Let's listen as she explains that more than half of U.S. adults report that the pandemic is impacting their mental health. Welcome to Health Matters with your host, Mike Royer.
Welcome into this edition of Health Matters. My name is Mike Royer, Dr. Marissa. I'm practicing saying it like you say Teresa. It's Marissa Gigi. It's good to see you again. She is a psychiatrist at University Medical Center here at the university. You've been so helpful for us and to us in the past, talking about all kinds of issues. The last time we talked to you, we talked about the effects mentally, psychologically for young people through COVID and all that it's presented to us. We're talking about the general population today, folks in between those children's age and my age and folks my age. Generally speaking, how have we dealt with this psychologically, in your opinion, in mass?
Well, the data shows that people are struggling, that we're seeing higher rates of anxiety and depression amongst the adult population since March of 2020.
And not just small jumps, but 30-40% increases in people who are showing symptoms of anxiety, correct?
Correct, yeah. Correct.
And so you deal with a lot of young people, but you deal with people of other ages as well. Is there a major difference in how a child deals with COVID anxiety, if we can call it that, and what someone in their 40s, 50s, or 60s may deal with it, or is it similar?
Well, I think, you know, you have to remember children are in their home environment typically with their families, and so they're going to respond to how their parents are behaving. And if the parents are very stressed, they'll pick up on that. And adults are going to be very worried about their livelihood, whether they can keep their jobs. And that seems to be, financial stress seem to be the number one stressor in addition to the fear of getting sick. So adults have more of those worries, whereas kids are going to pick up on the cues in their home environment. They may not really understand about COVID-19 and what a pandemic actually means. They just may see, hey, my mom is really nervous and worried.
Yeah.
And I'm worried too, because I don't want her to get sick.
Do you encourage adults to gauge and monitor the amount of information they get? You can sit in front of a television for hours and become depressed on all of the news out there, especially about COVID, that for so long was so bad. Now there's better news as we go forward with different vaccinations and things. But do you encourage people to be careful with how much you focus on that?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you asked that question, because in several of my sessions, which by the way have all been virtual since COVID with my adult patients, that has been one of the biggest pieces of advice, or almost like a prescription. I give them a limited diet of news and social media that I'm telling them to do, because many of my patients have been so stressed about, since March of 2020, remember all of the racial issues, all of the political issues. There were so many major world events that occurred that it stressed a lot of people out. And so they would sit there, it was almost like an addiction. They would watch social media, television, news, and it would make them more and more anxious. So I recommended no more than 2 times a day, 30 minutes or less, of watching some sort of news show or being involved on social media, just to limit that exposure, because the constant exposure to all of that was very stressful for people, especially with people who already had mental health problems.
Get the information, know what's going on, don't shut your mind off to the world, but you can really overdo it quickly.
Absolutely, and being at home without leaving the home, it's one of the activities, is watching TV and having the television on with the news, or looking at different social media sites on the computer.
I wonder if people in my age group, maybe slightly older, maybe a good bit younger, are reluctant to seek professional help. I've never been to a psychiatrist, not because I haven't needed one. There have been times in my life, in hindsight, I should have, and maybe should now, being totally honest. How do you encourage someone to get professional help? My generation thinks it's a sign of weakness if you seek out professional mental health, which is totally wrong. What words of encouragement could you get people to seek help when they feel like they might need it?
Right. Well, one thing is that mental health is important for your physical health. And so taking care of your emotions and your brain will help with all the other medical issues that you have, your heart, your blood pressure, your diabetes, but also that it's okay to go talk to any kind of doctor about this, not necessarily having to go see a psychiatrist, which I think can be very scary for people. Mm-hmm. And frankly, some people see it as a stigma to go see a shrink or a psychiatrist. But you could see your primary care doctor and ask for some help. You could even talk to someone in your community, like your pastor or someone who could be a friend, and then you could seek some help that way. And if it seems like it needs a professional level, ask your primary care doctor for a referral to a counselor, or just talk to the primary care doctor. Many of them now have social workers and counselors embedded in their offices. Most people actually seek their help for mental health problems from their primary care physician. Mm. And most people have mild to moderate issues that can be easily addressed by someone in primary care to talk to.
Unfortunately, in past decades, that stigma came to be because sometimes people were judged. Rumor around the office, oh, she went to a psychiatrist, something's wrong with her. Mm-hmm. And there was very little privacy. That's totally different now.
Correct.
Whether you are referred by your primary care physician or seek out a psychiatrist mm-hmm. in person, no one should know about that except you and your physician.
Right. Well, the laws around privacy are very, very strict, especially around mental health.
Yep.
And mental health providers like psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers who do therapy, et cetera, have an extra special protection around the law. So the HIPAA laws, which protect our privacy with our medical records, are actually have an extra level of protection. So you have to go through extra levels of privacy screens before you can see a mental health record. So our ethics in our profession are that we can absolutely not discuss with anyone if someone has come in to seek treatment. So it's completely confidential.
And in fact, I've read and been told that mental health care is covered almost under every insurance policy. They're very generous, for lack of a better word, and lenient in coverage for those. That's not normally denied as you don't qualify for this care. It almost always is covered by most insurance plans.
Typically, yes. Yeah. Most insurance plans.
There are exceptions.
Yes, yes.
Do you think we'll get to a point after more people are vaccinated, everyone that wants to be vaccinated, and maybe evidence, physicians tell us we've got herd immunity, that we'll be able to look at COVID in the rearview mirror and say, well, we're through that, we'll face the next challenge we have, but COVID is behind us? Or is this going to be something that you and your patients will be talking about for some time?
I think this is something we'll be talking about for some time, because it's pretty clear there are more variants coming out, and that this will be something like the flu, that every year we'll get a COVID vaccine, and there'll be some people that will get the vaccine and some people that won't. So we'll still be having to deal with this. And I think if we haven't learned how to adapt since this experience, then really shame on us. We're going to try to learn from what happened and take what was good from it and adapt it to the future. But I think we have to know that this has changed the world fundamentally that we live in. We're using technology more. I think medicine is going to be going towards more hybrid telemedicine models. And also, people are going to have to learn how to adapt to new situations and use technology more for education and how we interact with each other. So I think there can be some positives out of it, so we can learn and adapt to that. But also, I think that COVID is with us to stay. We just have to learn to live with it.
Let's end with the most basic question. I can almost guarantee you there's a person or people watching this that would love to get some mental health assistance from someone like you. They don't know how to find you. They don't know if they can afford you. Give us the basic building blocks for here's how you begin to get professional help in whatever area of mental health that you think you need help. What should they do?
Well, the easiest thing is to go through their primary care physician and ask for a referral. Pediatrician, internist, family physician, or OBGYN. If you're from Tuscaloosa, you can call the University Medical Center and call the Betty Shirley Clinic, and we'll give you a referral for someone to talk to, a psychologist, either a psychiatrist, either in our office or in the community or in the Birmingham area. But I think the easiest place is to go through their primary care doctor. If they have an emergency, they can call 911. And I believe that there's going to be a new number nationally. It hasn't come out yet. That's going to be for mental health emergencies. Yes. And when that becomes available, that can be a number that can be called. Suicide hotlines. But you don't want it to get to that point. You want to prevent things from getting to that point. For a child, you can go through the school counselor. So, but I think the easiest place is for primary care. If you don't have a primary care doctor, unfortunately, people will go to the emergency room, which is not the best option. Sometimes some of these walk-in clinics, I know there are more mental health walk-in clinics. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a new one that just opened in Tuscaloosa, and you could go to one of these 24/7 Emerge Care clinics, and they could make you a referral. But the ideal is to have a doctor that you trust that can give you referrals to doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists that they trust.
You've given us valuable information in the entire interview, but that last information on that last question just might save someone a lot of anxiety down the road. So thank you for sharing that. And I think anyone watching this can see how easy you are to talk to and how thorough you are in answers. And that might put some people's mind at ease as well. Dr. Marisa Gigi, thank you so much for your time today. We always enjoy having you on Health Matters.
Well, thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit umc.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, and Fayette.